And we'll take our Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And I want to see John the Baptist as a portrait of humility tonight, a portrait of humility. But let's start with prayer. Lord, we are thankful for the Word of God, and we're thankful for the many opportunities we have to study and to read it and to hear it preached. We're thankful for the ways that you work in our life through the Word of God and by your Holy Spirit, and that there's so many times where you give us exactly what we need. Lord, you are a marvelous God, and we thank you for what you've done in the past. But Lord, we're also thankful for what we trust you are going to do this evening and in the days to come. Lord, bless now our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Microsoft launched their Windows 95 operating system back in 1995, they really went all out for this launch. They spent a lot of money publicizing this, making sure everybody knew that this was happening. They licensed a Rolling Stones song for their commercial blitz, which is not cheap. You got to pay a lot of money for the royalties for that song. They paid. They called it a cyber sitcom. It was like a half-hour video guide to Windows 95, and they paid two very well-known actors, Jennifer Aniston and Matthew Perry from the popular TV show Friends at that time. They paid them a lot of money to do this half-hour video. They threw a big launch party where they invited, it was like over 2,000 people to this launch party for it. And they say that all their marketing cost them about $1 billion back in 1995 to publicize this. And you couldn't not know that this was happening. They did such a great job. And all that fanfare signaled their great intentions for this. Their intentions was that Windows 95 would change the world. It would change how you used computers and update it in so many ways. And the great beginning that they made for this operating system signaled the great intentions that they had for it. And we can make a parallel between that and the birth of John the Baptist, because his birth was probably second only to Jesus Christ in the fanfare and the announcement of it. And we talked about it before with his father, Zechariah, but an angel appeared to his father to tell him that he was going to be born. And when his father didn't believe, he had to be silent. And there was this miracle then around the birth of John the Baptist, not only in the fact that Zechariah had to be quiet, also with, they weren't able to have children. And God miraculously made that possible for them. John the Baptist's name was specifically chosen and communicated to them by an angel. And it was when Zacharias could finally talk again that he told them it is going to be John, and he confirmed that. There was just so much then surrounding the birth of John the Baptist that made it known that he was special, that there was something unique about this man. And he was told that there was great intentions for John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 1, in verse 15, he was told, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Right? His dad was told this. Your son is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He was given, well, go with me to Luke chapter 1. He was given a divinely appointed job that he was going to accomplish. He was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, to go and pave the way for people to receive Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 76, as Zechariah finally is able to speak again and he prophesies, he speaks of his son and says, thou child, Luke chapter 1, verse 76, thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this was the mission of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist lived up to it. When he came on the scene, he went and he did the job that God had called him to do. And Jesus Christ said of John, he said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, which is an amazing statement to hear, but it's from Jesus Christ, right? I understand a mom, you know, talking about their little kid, and they're like, he's the best at basketball, right? He's the best on his sports team. And you're like, okay, I know you have those mom goggles where you kind of see everything like that. This is Jesus Christ talking about John the Baptist. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. We find out about John the Baptist's ministry. If you go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5. As he goes out and he preaches, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It says in verse 5, as he goes out and is preaching in the wilderness of Judea by Jordan, the Jordan River, it says, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. There's multitudes that come out to hear this oddly dressed prophet out in the wilderness speaking this message. He is attracting great multitudes who are coming and listening. They're repenting of their sin and getting baptized by him in the Jordan River. All of this is taking place. And all of this, his birth and all the announcement at his birth, the miracles at his birth, all the success that he's having in this ministry would be and could be a cause for pride. It could be a cause for a person to look at themselves and all of a sudden start to think more highly of themselves. Because people are prone to pride and people have been proud of a lot less. Did you know I found out every year in Australia, there is a competition that's known as Mullet Fest, and it's for people who have a mullet. And so it's a competition that they have where you can compete to see who has the best mullet in different categories. There's some categories such as an everyday mullet, like the casual one, I guess. There's grubby, which I was like, ew. Don't know what it means, but I don't. And then there's extreme mullet. But the highest prize of all is best mullet of them all, right? That is the prize you want to win. If you go in this competition, you're wanting to win best mullet of them all. And you know, there is someone somewhere who has that trophy on their shelf and they are proud of it. Everybody they invite over, they're like, hey, check it out. I have officially the best mullet of them all. Because this is who we are. We're proud about things, even things that maybe you shouldn't be proud of. We find reasons to be very proud. I look at John the Baptist and all the success that he had and go, he very well could have gotten very proud of who he was and the position he had and how God had announced before his birth that he was going to be great. And Jesus had said that there's no greater among women than him. And look at all the people that were listening to him and following him. And yet for all the reasons he had to be proud, John the Baptist is such a portrait of humility, a very humble man. And there's some subjects that I feel like no matter how many times you hear them talked about, they're always very applicable. And they always kind of get you right where you need to be. And one of those is pride and humility. Because that's something that I think we all wrestle with all the time. It's like trying to keep the dandelions out of your backyard. You just got to constantly fight them. And the minute you stop, they're back. And it's the same thing with pride. It's like we're constantly having to push back against our pride and constantly having to work on humility. And tonight in John, there's two ways I see his humility. Two ways I see this portrait of humility in John. And if we go back to Mark chapter 1, we see that he was very humble in his opinion of himself. Very humble in how he thought of himself, how he considered himself. So in verse 7, as he's preaching, one of the things he says is that there cometh one mightier than I after me. He says, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He didn't consider himself worthy of unloosing the sandals on the feet of the Messiah. He considered himself unworthy of that. So in those days, this would be the job of the lowest servant, right? They would be the one that is considered worthy of this job. And in those days, when you would come to the house, you would take your sandals off and go into the house and leave them at the door. And if you were rich enough, you would have servants and you could assign one of them to do this. But it would be the lowest servant that gets this task. The lowest servant is the one that ties and unties people's sandals as they come in and out. And John says, I'm not even that worthy. I have not even attained the rank of sandal looser. I'm not even good enough for that. He humbles himself that much. Despite all the honor that he had received, he still understood how much greater Jesus was than him. And Christians need to have a very exalted view of Jesus Christ. We have to. We have to constantly be trying to exalt God in our minds. I know, I think it was a couple Wednesday nights ago, I talked about, it's called the ontological proof for the existence of God by a man named Anselm years ago. And he put it this way. He described God as the being than which nothing greater can be conceived. I talked about it on that Wednesday night, but it's the idea that when we think about God, we think about like the attributes of God as great as we can. We think about holiness and as holy as we can consider, that is God and greater, right? So God is greater than we can even imagine. At the very end of our ability to comprehend these attributes and the nature of God, God is greater than that. But there is the work for us of constantly holding God there, holding God as greater than we understand, holding God as greater in his love than we can understand, holding God as greater in power than our minds can comprehend, and saying God is wiser than I could ever imagine. God is greater than anything I could consider. That needs to be the way we exalt God in our minds. To think any less of God is to dishonor him. To bring God any closer to us in nature and character is to treat him less than he deserves, because God is a great God. And this is why we see John speaking about Jesus Christ in this way. But when we talk about the humility of John, it wasn't just in how he thought of Jesus Christ. It was also in how John thought about himself. Because John didn't ride on the coattails of Jesus' greatness. John didn't think of his connection with Jesus Christ as, well, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, I'm the foreigner, I'm the one who goes before the Messiah, and so therefore, because of my connection with him, I am greater. And people do this, right? They ride someone else's coattails to greatness. They're like, if you're going, I'm going with you. I may not be better than you, but I will be right behind you. Drew Locke is an NFL quarterback, and he was drafted back in 2019 on the Denver Broncos, and he started for the Denver Broncos in 2019 and 2020, and he wasn't anything really special. So the Broncos drafted another quarterback in 2021, and when they did that, Drew Locke became their backup quarterback. And then in 2022, they traded him to the Seahawks, and he was backup quarterback for them. In 2024, he was traded to the New York Giants and was backup quarterback there. Then in 2005, he was traded back to the Seahawks, and he was the backup quarterback for the Seahawks. And so thanks to an incredible season by Sam Darnold, the Seahawks quarterback, and then the rest of the Seahawks that started, he got a Super Bowl ring as a backup quarterback. I don't think he threw a pass all year, and he got a ring. He just rode someone else's coattails to greatness, you know? And there's a lot of people that do that, and you can go around and show people a Super Bowl ring, though you didn't really do anything to get it. And here's John the Baptist could very well have done that and said, yes, look at how great Jesus Christ is, and by extension, how great am I, right? Like, and magnifying Jesus Christ for the purpose of also magnifying himself a little bit. And yet we see the exact opposite in John the Baptist, where he magnified Jesus Christ and he humbled himself. He said, Jesus Christ is great, and not, I am also kind of great, not as great, but still great. His message was, I am not worthy. He is so worthy, and I am very unworthy. And even as we exalt our Savior, we have to be humbling ourselves. And humility, by the way, humility in our attitude toward God is shown in how we treat other people, in serving others, and in sacrificing for other people. And that has to be the attitude. It goes together. Exalting Jesus Christ and humbling ourselves. The person who has Jesus Christ ranked number one in their life and them ranked number two is not a humble person. It's the person who ranks Jesus Christ first, everybody else, and then themselves. That's what humility is. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what humility is. That's how we need to think about God, and that is how we need to think about ourselves. So we see this humility in John the Baptist in how he considered himself, how he looked at his own status and position with all the greatness that was afforded him in his position and in his birth and all the people that followed him. He still maintained a very humble attitude toward himself. But then we also see it, and if you go to John chapter 1, John's humility in constantly pointing people to Jesus Christ. In constantly pointing people to Jesus Christ. So John chapter 1 and verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Humility in pointing people to Jesus Christ. And in the passage we just read, John loses two disciples. He points them to Jesus Christ, and those disciples then leave off from following John, and they follow Jesus. And you go, John, that's not a great recipe for growing your brand. You know, if you're trying to like really grow your brand and get people to know you and have that name recognition and build a great following, this is not how to do it. Maybe we need to sit him down and talk to him about customer retention and some strategies, you know? Like maybe you should offer some sort of loyalty program. You know, if they come and follow you X amount of times, they get this reward or, you know, like some incentive for staying with you or, you know, you got to form a community where people feel involved and seen. And John, you got to do all of this so you keep your followers. But that, I mean, that wasn't John's point, was it? John's purpose wasn't for him to gain followers and keep followers. It was for him to get people to follow the Messiah. That was his whole point. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. I know I've got you turning around a lot. Luke chapter 1. Verse 15, this is when the angel is speaking to Zechariah before John the Baptist's birth. He's been told from the very beginning that this is what he is supposed to do. So, Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And it's told very clearly that he's going to turn people to the Lord their God, to the Messiah. That is John's entire purpose in all of this. And for John, the mission mattered more than his pride. The job that he was given was more important to him than any personal gain, than anything he could have gotten from it, than amassing a large following, than the popularity that he had, all the pride you can get from success. What mattered most to him was his mission, point people to Jesus Christ. And pride stands in the way of our service. Pride stands in the path of us doing what God calls us to do. If we're going to obey God and to serve God like he calls us to do, we have to trample our pride and walk right over it and say, I am going to humble myself. What if John had really taken a liking to fame? I was like, I kind of like this. I like everybody following me. I like everybody hanging on my every word. And what if he started to enjoy some of the ways he would profit from his popularity? You know, maybe when the time came to say, Behold the Lamb of God, he was, maybe don't say it too loud, you know, maybe not proclaim it as loud, maybe just, you know, waver a little bit, maybe not say it as often or as clearly, or, you know, maybe also throw in a little blurb about you as well, right? John didn't do any of that. John just looked at the multitude that stood before him that had come to hear him and said, That's your Messiah. Follow him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I am, and he would look at him and go, I am nothing compared to him. I am not worthy to loose the ties on his sandals. And he constantly pointed to people to Jesus Christ, despite knowing that they would no longer follow him and they would follow Jesus Christ. That's our mission, isn't it? To point people to Jesus Christ. And pride is going to hold us back from doing what God wants us to do, from serving God. The mission that God has given to us in all the different ways that we are called to fulfill the work of God. I know that's very broad, but all the ways we're called to do that, pride's going to keep us from that. Until we humble ourselves, we're not going to be used like God wants us to be, because we're not going to be willing to humble ourselves to the level God wants us to be at. And yet we see in John this portrait of incredible humility. The man who had one of the greatest beginnings and so much greatness shown as who he was and the great intentions God had for him, and yet he was humble. And you know, when you talk about great beginnings and showing great intentions, one of the intentions God had for John was to be humble. It's seen in what God told him to do. He was supposed to be humble. That was the great intentions God had for him. So go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'll show you one more verse. Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. Jesus is talking to the multitude about John the Baptist. And he says in verse 27, This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And then he says in verse 28, I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. In his humility, he was great. But look what Jesus goes on to say. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. The more humble you are, the greater you are. The less you are, the least you are. are, the greater you are. Be like John the Baptist. Be least. Be less. Be humble. That is what Jesus says is greatness. Greatness is being least. And I know it runs very contrary to what the world thinks. And sometimes the thinking of the world slips even into this. Because we can have the thought of, I will temporarily be least so that one day I can be great. But that's not what he's talking about. It's not that you serving and you humbling yourself is the path to getting out of that. So one day you won't have to anymore. And one day, if you're just humble for a few years, you'll be able to be over people and in authority for years and tell people what to do and make them serve you if you just sacrifice a few years, right? It's not that we become least and then we stop being least and we become great. The thought is least is great. Being least is being greatest. The definition of being greatest is, who's the servant that's the least? Who's the servant that is the most selfless, the most humble, the one who is willing to lower themselves the most, the one who will serve others the most, the dirtiest servant? I don't know about dirtiest, but you know what I mean. The servant who's willing to be least, that is greatest in the eyes of God. Being least isn't a path to greatest. It is what it means to be great in the eyes of God. Matthew 23:11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And you know, we talked about great beginnings, they show great intentions. And God has great intentions for all of us. You know what those great intentions are, right? It's us serving. It's us being a servant. And the problem might be that doesn't fit our definition of greatness. We need to have the Bible's definition, the Bible's meaning of what is greatness. And that is, you humble yourself. You get down on your hands and knees and you serve. You put other people first. You sacrifice. You give without any thought of what can they do for me, but instead, what can I do for God and the people God has placed in my life? And that means that this week, God has put before us opportunities to be the least in our neighborhood, the least in your workplace, the least in your family, the least at church. God says, that's what I want you to do. You want to be great? Just be the least, and you will be great in my eyes. Let's take this as a portrait of what we should be, a portrait of humility, a man that had every reason to be proud and to say, look at how great I am. Look at all the people that follow me. And God says, you know what? John was great because he was so humble, because he increased me and decreased himself, because he was constantly pointing people away from himself to me, just doing the work I'd called him to do, and he was humble. Let's be humble this week. Let's serve. Let's sacrifice. Let's give. Let's be the least, because that's what God says is great. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, or the one who humbled himself for us and died on the cross in our place. We're thankful for all that you gave for us. Lord, help us to be that servant. Help us to humble ourselves. Lord, may you give us victory over our pride this week, that we might live for you. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.